This is Amarins. Welcome to episode 37 of my podcast. My name is Arthur, and I'm a gay American now living in New Zealand. Today's episode is going to be a bit short. It's the busiest week of the month for me, and I'm afraid I didn't have as much time as I would have liked. But today I have two main topics. First up is APEC, the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum, and that's at 1 minute 30 seconds, with a special audio included. At 11 minutes 55 seconds, I talk about the Rugby World Cup, which is a game of a different sort. And finally, there's comments at 16 minutes 12 seconds. Music today is just Apple loops, just played around with it a little bit, and I recorded some GarageBand, so I hope it works. Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum meeting is about to begin in Sydney, and the city is pretty much in lockdown. Australian Prime Minister John Howard has blamed the increased security in part on supposed threats from what he calls violent protesters. And the New South Wales police have pledged to crack down on protesters, including, apparently, plans to forbid one protest because it might turn violent. They've already ordered people not to take photos of the security fencing, despite the fact that the photos of the fence are all over the internet already. New South Wales is the Australian state that Sydney is in, by the way. Now, John Howard also released a campaign commercial on YouTube dealing with APEC. Australian media was gushing that it was an attempt to reach younger voters, but at least they recognized it was a political commercial and part of John Howard's election campaign. You can tell that because the username is JohnHoward2007, so it's pretty clear it's just campaign propaganda. I'll put a link to the video in the show notes, but here's the audio so you don't have to go watch. It's a little over 8 minutes long, so you can fast forward if you want. The first person to speak is a woman named Anne Fullwood, who's labeled APEC spokesman, and then Australian Prime Minister John Howard. All right, here's that video. That audio.
...meeting in Canberra in 1989. In fact, APEC is now the premier forum for facilitating economic growth, cooperation, trade and investment in the Asia-Pacific region. As such, the APEC Economic Leaders Meeting here in Sydney is the most important meeting Australia has ever hosted. 21 influential leaders from around the world will attend. More than 4,000 delegates and 1,000 media representatives will accompany them. This is the culmination of more than 100 days of preparatory meetings of senior officials and ministers. The outcomes from this meeting will help to continue to improve Australia's standing in the region with regard to trade, global business, security, public health, and energy security.
Hello there. This week's APEC meeting in Sydney is a once-in-a-generation opportunity for Australia. It's the most important gathering of world leaders this country has ever hosted. APEC brings together in a single group all the major economies in our region and 8 out of Australia's top 10 trading partners. Australian jobs, living standards and security all depend on the prosperity and security of the APEC region. The Asia-Pacific is the fastest growing and most dynamic region in the world. No other body draws together the leaders of so many of the world's biggest economies and our neighbours to discuss the shared challenges and opportunities we all face. Each year, the presidents of the United States, China, Russia and Indonesia sit down at APEC with the Prime Ministers of Australia and Japan and other regional leaders to discuss issues such as trade, terrorism, and the steps we need to take cooperatively to ensure our region is stable, secure, and prosperous. The Sydney meeting will showcase Australia to the world and provide us with a unique opportunity to influence decision makers on issues that matter to the Australian people.
APEC has forged many positive partnerships through its open and cooperative forums. Since 1989, the world has changed, and today we face new challenges in multilateral trade, global business development, regional security, public health, and energy security.
This year, Australia has set out an ambitious agenda for APEC. Traditionally, APEC has been a forum for breaking down barriers to trade so Australia's exporters can sell their goods and services into the growing markets of the Asia-Pacific. Helping Australian businesses to take advantage of new opportunities remains an important focus of this meeting. The APEC Business Summit, to be attended by senior business figures prior to the leaders' meeting, will underscore how APEC means business. APEC has also been working on improving regional security and developing better responses to threats posed by terrorism, disease outbreaks, and natural disasters. In March of this year, I wrote to all APEC leaders, putting clean energy and climate change at the top of this year's APEC agenda. This is a new issue for APEC, but one that Australia recognises is important for the long-term sustainable future of the region. The biggest global political challenge on climate change is to build bridges between the industrialised world and developing countries, which we know will account for the majority of future greenhouse gas emissions. The APEC region accounts for 60% of the world's energy demand, including the three largest energy users in the world, China, the United States, and the Russian Federation. Energy demand across the APEC economies is expected to double by 2030. While we need to recognise that combating climate change will be a challenge for many decades to come, I believe this year's APEC meeting can make a difference where it matters, developing ideas and putting the region's full weight behind a truly global response. We need to find ways to address the problem while also allowing the likes of China and Indonesia to continue to grow and prosper.
APEC is the largest dignitary protection event ever undertaken in Australian history. And so with that comes a level of security that in times past would not have been necessary. Violent protesters will most probably target APEC. There will be other protesters who will do so peacefully. But for those who don't, or for those who seek to disrupt APEC, there will be significant policing and security responses taken. The New South Wales Police Force has overall responsibility for the security and the safety of APEC delegates, the leaders, and the citizens of Sydney. They and the APEC Task Force have been planning for more than 2 years, and they have taken only the absolutely essential measures to keep everyone safe, with a minimum disruption, while still allowing the city to function. It's a delicate balance to achieve, but I'm sure they'll do all of us proud in keeping Sydney safe. Whenever there's a visiting head of state in Australia, there are always security measures put in place to protect the safety of that person. Now imagine that to the power of 20, and you start to see the scale of the event. The images from APEC will be beamed across the world, but the scale and the significance of this event will also bring Australia into the international spotlight because of the far-reaching discussions that will be taking place. Please be understanding over the coming days while we host this great event for Australia in this wonderful city of Sydney. APEC member economies contribute a great deal to our national economy, and in the end, we will benefit for years to come in spite of some minor disruptions for a couple of days.
So far, there has been a focus on potential inconvenience caused by the APEC meeting. Unfortunately, the extra security precautions that need to be taken are a necessary part of hosting such meetings in today's world. They are the fault of people who threaten violence as part of their protests. We've been working closely with the New South Wales government, which has primary responsibility for the security of the event, to limit the disruption to what the experts assess to be absolutely necessary. I also know that there will be some individuals who want to protest against APEC. I simply ask them to stop for a moment and consider that if they really are worried about issues such as poverty, security, and climate change, then they should support APEC, not attack it. In the end, I'm confident that fair-minded Australians will recognise the importance of this meeting. And equally, I'm confident that the world will look at Australia and Sydney as APEC's host and recognise the vibrant, friendly, and outward-looking character of the Australian people.
Right, well, propaganda aside, that little thing does have some information about APEC, although admittedly mostly from an Australian perspective. But it's fairly typical of the sorts of things that John Howard has been doing lately on YouTube, and if you do watch the video, you can go look at the others that he has up. There's one on trying to convince young people to have a year in the Australian Defence Force and things like that. But it is part of his campaign. So far, it hasn't apparently been doing him much good, because he's lagging far behind in the polls, and the Australian Labor Party, which is currently in opposition, is pulling way ahead of his right-wing coalition government. But who knows? We'll see what happens. As far as reaching young people, it's kind of interesting, because he's been Prime Minister of Australia for about 11 years now, I think. And so for a lot of young voters, he's the only Prime Minister they've ever known, to all intents and purposes. So, it will be interesting to see what happens with the election. The glory of being able to lift high the William Webb Ellis Trophy to be the winners of the Rugby World Cup, or to go home empty-handed. The Rugby World Cup is beginning in France. It actually starts this coming weekend. Now, there was a time when New Zealand men were said to be interested in three things: rugby, racing, and beer. Well, beer consumption is way down, the horse racing industry is fading, and professionalism has killed off a lot of the interest in rugby, though it's still the dominant sport in New Zealand. Time was, the people who played rugby had other jobs and other things that they did, and they just played rugby on the weekends. Well, nowadays, at least at the top level, the rugby players generally do nothing but play rugby. Anyway, rugby is the granddaddy of the oval ball sports. American football and Aussie rules football both descended from rugby. Hardened fans of the game say that there's distinct differences in the way the game is played in the northern and southern hemispheres. Now, I'll have to take the word for that, because I can't really see it myself. In the north, the dominant countries are the Six Nations competition of England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, France, and Italy. In the southern hemisphere, it's the Tri-Nations, South Africa, Australia, and New Zealand. Now, I won't try to explain the game, but it's much faster than American football. More importantly, I'd say, the players wear shorts and jerseys and no pads or helmets, which means it's much easier to get a good look at the men. The Rugby World Cup tournament is made up of 20 national teams divided into four pools. The USA Eagles are in Pool A, and their first game is September 10th against England. They're not expected to do well. England won the last Rugby World Cup, and they're currently ranked 7th in the world, while the US is ranked 15th. Now, the other teams in the USA's pools are South Africa, who are 4th in the world, Samoa, and Tonga. Pool B is made up of Australia, who've won the World Cup twice, Wales, Fiji, Canada, and Japan. New Zealand, which is currently ranked number 1 in the world and the winner of the first World Cup in 1987, is in Pool C with Scotland, Italy, Romania, and Portugal. Pool D is France, Ireland, Argentina, Georgia, and Namibia, of all countries. The final will be played Sunday, October 21st at Saint-Denis, or however you pronounce that. The New Zealand All Blacks are currently favored to win the World Cup, but they haven't managed to win it again after that 1987 victory, so there's some skepticism that they can do it. Unfortunately, the U.S. isn't expected to get higher than 4th in their pool, which means they won't make the semifinals or anything. They won't even get out of the pool, as it were. But there's been a lot of talk about the development of rugby in America, and there is a little bit of evidence that apparently at the university level it's quite popular. But there's another aspect of rugby. It's called sevens, and it's called that because there's seven people on a side, and it's played over 20 minutes, two 10-minute halves. It's really fast and it's really intense, And there's an international tournament that the International Rugby Board sponsors. And there's now a stop in the U.S. It's in California. I think San Diego or somewhere like that. I can't remember now. But I once heard the USA coach saying that if rugby were to take off in America, it would be sevens that would be the ticket to it. But it's far less, what's the word I'm looking for, formulaic, I suppose, than American football. I never really cared much for American football. I used to watch the Super Bowl whenever the Chicago Bears were in it, but that was really about it, because I couldn't be bothered with all the starting and stopping and all that. Well, it's not like that in rugby, because the players, generally speaking, play the entire game. It's in two halves, like American football, but it's much faster, and without all that starting and stopping. Right, and now it's time for the comments. And first up is Spikey, who said, I just now watched the 100% Pure New Zealand.com commercial. I have to say it seems accurate, but reminds me of my only real complaint about this place. As a fellow stepping quickly into geezerhood, the youth and vitality of the typical Kiwi can be a little annoying. I know it's not their fault, but there it is. And congrats on the poll win. You definitely deserve it. And I said, maybe the commercial was designed to attract young, adventurous tourists, or those who think they are. Somehow I doubt the new commercial will be any different in that respect. And if you do want to see the commercial for yourself, there is a link in the show notes for episode 36. And then Archer said, I love that song, Forever Young. I'm sure you're glad the last day of winter has come and gone and that spring is on its way. I just knew you'd win the poll on your site. Thanks for telling us who all those people were. And I said, yeah, I like that song so much I bought the CD single, which is really rare for me, especially since the iTunes Music Store opened in New Zealand. Actually, that reminds me, somebody told me that CD singles are no longer sold in the U.S., and maybe somebody can tell me if that's true or not. They're still here and apparently in Australia as well, and I actually once heard of somebody who would buy up CD singles in Australia and then sell them on eBay in America because Americans couldn't get them and they wanted them or whatever. Anyway. I went on, I do love spring, but with the generally mild weather all year round, and not much difference between seasons from my Midwest America perspective, I really can't complain about the weather. Naturally, I do anyway. As you do. And those were the comments, just to that episode. It was late getting up, and just before a holiday weekend. It, of course, was not a holiday weekend in New Zealand. The Labor Day holiday in New Zealand is at the end of October. And however, this past Sunday was Father's Day in New Zealand. So everything's all a bit different down here. And that's it for this week. Have a good week, everybody, and I expect to be back on Friday, and I will talk to you then. Always feel free to leave a comment on my blog, amarins.blogspot.com, or send an email to me at amarins@yahoo.com. That's it for this Tuesday edition. I hope to talk to you on Friday. Till then, have a great week. Bye.